This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We'll move on. In Surah Al-Fatiha, we read about the three groups of people: those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed, those who are in the anger of Allah, and those who are astray. In Surah Al-Baqarah, we studied about the detail of all of these three groups. And who is the one who receives guidance? The first group, those whom Allah has blessed, those who have taqwa, those who believe. And then we studied about the invitation to all of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited every single person, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, to what? It was the invitation to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And after the invitation to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, we learned about the messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah, and then Muhammadur Rasulullah. And now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about us. Where did we come from? Who are we the children of? Why are we here? What's our purpose? So now in the following verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the history of the human being upon this earth. Where did it begin? Where did the human beings come from? What is their purpose over here? What are they doing over here? وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ, and mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when your Lord said, to who? لِلْمَلَائِكَ, to the angels. وَإِذْ, wa means and إِذْ means when. And whenever the word id comes at the beginning of a sentence, it gives the meaning of udhkur id. Recall, remember when such and such happened. Or mention when such and such happened. So wa id qala rabbuka, what does it mean? That O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mention to the people. Mention this incident to the people. Recall this incident. Mention this incident. Tell the people about this. About which incident? When قال ربك, when your Lord said. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. To who? للملائكه, to the angels. When your Lord said to the angels. What did he say to the angels? That إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة, indeed, I am going to place upon the earth a successive authority. The word malaika is the plural of the word mal'ak. It is the plural of the word mal'ak. And the word mal'ak, because it is difficult to pronounce, it is changed into malak. Okay? Because the word mal'ak is difficult to pronounce, therefore, it is changed to malak. Mal'ak is changed into malak. So mala'ika is the plural and malak is the singular. And the root of the word mala'ika is hamza, lam, kaf. Hamza, lam, kaf. From the word aluka. Aluka means to bring and deliver messages. What does it mean? What's the basic meaning of the word? To bring and deliver messages. What do the angels do? They deliver messages. They carry out the messages. They carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the unseen, meaning we do not see them, but they are definitely existing and they are of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are created from light. The angels are created from light. The angels are different from the human beings. How? They do not eat. They do not drink. They do not marry or have children. They do not have families. They are different from the human beings. And they are also different from the human beings because they do not have any choice. They do not have any choice. They do not have any free will. Human beings have free will. We can decide, we can choose to do something, or we can choose not to do something. But the angels are programmed to only obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have any choice. But at the same time, they also possess intellect. They also have understanding. Generally, when you think of something that does not have a choice, something that does only what it is programmed to do, what comes to your mind? A machine, a computer, a robot. Does it have a mind of its own? No, it doesn't. But the angels, they do have comprehension and understanding, but they do not have the choice to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They only obey Allah. They only do what they are commanded to do. They never disobey Allah. And the angels, they have different roles. They have different roles. They do different things. And they are also of different types. The angels are also of different types. They have different ranks. For example, there is the angel Jibril, who is almost always mentioned separately when the angels are mentioned in the Quran. Like for example, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا. In the Laylatul Qadr, who descends from the sky? The angels, وَالْرُوحُ, and the angel Jibril is mentioned separately. Right? So there are angels with different roles, with different ranks, with different positions, and they have different tasks which they perform. They have different tasks which they perform. Some angels, they bring revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to people, to the prophets of Allah. For example, angel Jibril, that was his job. Other angels, what do? They carry out the commands of Allah. For example, where to take rain clouds, where the rain is supposed to pour down. Similarly, distribution of risk. Similarly, taking the ruh of someone who is supposed to die at a particular time. So all of the angels, they have different tasks. Some angels, they are created only for the purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. That's all they do. Only worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are other angels who write and record every single thing that us human beings do. So we see that the angels are different types. They have different things to do. They have different ranks, different roles to play. And their main role, in whatever capacity it is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way or the other. It is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way or the other. In Surah Fatir, ayah number 1, we read, Alhamdulillahi fatir as-samawati wal-ard, ja'ili al-malaikati rusulan, uli ajnihatin, mathna wa thulatha wa ruba'. All praise is due to Allah, creator of the heavens and the earth, who made the angels messengers, having wings, 2 or 3 or 4. So what do we learn from this ayah? That the angels also have wings. They have been created from light with wings. But their main role is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over here that mention when your Lord said to the angels, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to the angels? That inni ja'ilun, indeed I am going to make. Ja'il is from the root letters jim, ayn, lam, ja'ala. Ja'ala means to make something, and it also means to put something somewhere, to place something. We did the word ja'alu previously in the example of the hypocrites, that in the rainstorm, what do? Ja'alu asabi'ahum fi adhanihim. They place, they put their fingers into their ears. So ja'ala means to make something, and it also means to appoint something, to place something somewhere. So over here Allah says, indeed I am ja'ilun, I am going to make, I am going to place, fil ardi, in the earth, who am I going to create and place in the earth? Khalifa, successive authority. Referring to human beings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, I am going to place upon the earth a khalifa. The word khalifa is from the root letters kha, lam, fa. Kha, lam, fa. Khalf. Khalf means behind. Khalf means behind. Yesterday you asked me, what is the word that is used for behind? Because we have done different words for front, which is qabl, right? We have done taht, which is below. We have done fawq, which is above, right? So khalf is one word that is used for behind. There are other words as well. Remember, these are not the only four words which are used for direction. Okay? There are many other words besides these as well. So khalf means behind. And khalif is one who comes behind someone. One who comes after someone. Who is a khalif? One who comes after someone. And you see this ta at the end? Khalifa. Okay. This ta, generally there is a ta at the end of a noun when it is feminine. Right? In the Arabic language, you will put a ta at the end when the word is feminine. For example, you have sajid, one who prostrates. Sajida, the girl who prostrates. Right? But over here, this ta is not for the purpose of feminine. Okay? This is not for feminine. So khalif is who? One who comes behind the other. One who comes after the other and takes his place after he has gone, after he has left. When you think of the word khalifa, what comes to your mind? The khalifa of the Muslims. In Islamic history, there were many khulafa. There were many leaders of the Muslims, and the term that was given to them was khalifa. Why? Because when one would die, then the other would take his place. So khalifa is who? One who comes after the other and takes his place. One who comes after the other and takes his place. Only when he has died. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu died, then who was the khalifa? Umar radiallahu anhu. Right? So this is who a khalifa is. The word khalifa is also used for a deputy. Someone who works for someone else. Someone who works for someone else under them. Okay? Someone who works for someone else under them. Which is why the word khalifa was given to the Muslim leader. Why? Because yes, they were the authority in the dunya, but who were they actually working under? Under whose law? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how the Muslim leader is different. Because he does not invent his own laws, his own ways, but instead he follows the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other religions, what happens? For example, in Christianity, the Pope or the supreme leader, what does he do? He is allowed to make changes to the religion, make his own judgments, so on and so forth, by himself. But a khalifa, he does only that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed from before. So this is who a khalifa is. What are the main two meanings that you have studied so far? One who comes after the other, and secondly, one who works for the other under him. Now the question is, that why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the word khalifa for the human beings? Why doesn't he simply say that I am going to place Adam upon the earth, who's going to have children? I'm going to place the human race upon the earth. Why is the term khalifa used? There are several reasons given. First of all, it has been said that the human being has been described as khalifa because the human being is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deputy on earth. How? That he is to carry out what? The commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya. He is to obey the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya. He is to obey and carry out the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya. And this is not because, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unable to implement the laws himself, because a khalifa is not just someone who obeys the laws himself, but he also implements the laws. Right? A khalifa is not just one who obeys the laws himself, but he also implements the laws. So is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot implement the laws himself, that he has to appoint a deputy? No. That's not the reason. The reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors some people, honors some of his creation when he gives them responsibility, when he gives them the task to implement His laws. Like, for example, in Surah Sad, ayah number 26, we learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Dawoodu, O Dawood. Who was Dawood alayhi salam? He was a prophet and he was also a king. He was a prophet and he was also a king. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Ya Dawood, Inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. O Dawood, indeed we have made you a successor upon the earth. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. So judge between the people in truth. وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى. And do not follow your own desire. So the human being has been called Khalifa. Why? Because he is to follow and implement the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world. And why is this so? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors some by giving them this task to perform. And this term in particular has been used because what this signifies is that the human being has the authority. He has the choice. He has the ability to choose between right and wrong. He has the ability to choose between right and wrong. So this term has been used to signify that the human beings are going to populate the earth. They are going to inhabit the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give them authority. He is going to give them choice. He is going to give them free will. This is why the word Khalifa has been used. Another interpretation has been given, which is that the word Khalifa has been used because the human beings, they are a species whose one generation will succeed another generation. Because remember the meaning of Khalifa? One who comes after the other. So the human beings are described as Khalifa. Why? Because one generation will come, they will die, another generation will come and replace them. Who will die? And then another generation will come and replace them. And this will continue until the Day of Judgment. So the human being has been described as Khalifa because they are of a species whose one generation will succeed another generation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-An'am, ayah number 165, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ. And it is He who has made you successors upon the earth. Your one generation goes away and a new generation comes. You succeed each other. Surah Al-An'am, ayah 165. So this was the second meaning. A third interpretation has been given to the word Khalifa, which is that man has been called Khalifa because he succeeded a previous species that had existed upon the earth before him. Khalifa is who? One who comes after someone. So the entire human race has been called Khalifa. Why? Because they were going to succeed and replace a previous species that existed before them. That previous species was completely wiped off, and then the human beings were placed upon the earth. Now, what was that creation? Who were they? We do not exactly know, because we have not been clearly informed in the Quran and Sunnah. Some have said that, you know, the dinosaurs, or Allahu A'lam. People have given many, many interpretations to this. And according to some, it refers to the jinn. It refers to the jinn. Because the jinn were created before the human beings. The jinn, they were created before the human beings. Where do we learn that from? From Surah Al-Hijr, ayah number 27. Surah Al-Hijr, ayah number 27. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. And the jinn, we created them before. Before who? Before the human beings, from fire. So, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Indeed, I am going to place upon the earth a khalifa. Why is the human being called khalifa? Because first of all, he is Allah's deputy upon the earth. Secondly, human beings are a species whose one generation succeeds the previous generation. And thirdly, human beings are called khalifa. Why? Because they are succeeding an entire species. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the angels about his plan, about what he was going to do. What was the response of the angels? قالوا, they said. Meaning the angel said in response, أتجعلوا, will you make, will you appoint, أتجعلوا. This Hamza is for istifham. And remember that sometimes people ask a question, why? To object. Like we studied yesterday. When people say, why is it that Allah has quoted this example in the Quran? So sometimes people are objecting when they ask a question. Other times, people ask a question really to know the answer, to know the reason behind something. So over here, when the angels say, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا, are you going to place upon the earth someone who is going to do such and such? They're not objecting over here. But instead, they're asking out of surprise or in order to know the wisdom behind placing this creation upon the earth. So they say, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا, in the earth, مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا, are you going to place upon the earth someone who's going to create fasad on the earth? And remember the meaning of the word fasad? Tangible fasad as well as intangible fasad. وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ, and he is also going to shed blood. You're going to place somebody upon the earth who is going to create fasad, and he is also going to shed blood. Why? Because he has free will. The word yasfiku is from the root letters sin, fa, kaf. Sin, fa, kaf. Safk. And safk is to spill. To spill some liquid or to cause something to flow. But this word in particular is for shedding blood. It is for causing blood to flow. To cause bloodshed. And the word addima is actually the plural of the word dam. Dal mean dam. Dam means blood. Dima would mean plural of blood. Okay? We don't have a plural of blood in English. But the word dima has been used, why? To indicate that he will shed the blood of many. He will shed the blood of hundreds and thousands. He is going to cause bloodshed upon the earth. Dal mim waw. The root word for the word dam or dima is dal mim waw. So the angels say, are you going to place somebody upon the earth who is going to create fasad and who is also going to create, who is also going to cause bloodshed? Now the question is, why did the angels ask this question? Were they objecting? No, they were not. They simply wanted to know the wisdom behind this plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always does something with some wisdom behind it. There is always some wisdom behind the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the decisions, the plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when you read this ayah, another question comes to your mind. Why are the angels saying that the human being is going to create fasad on the earth and he's going to cause bloodshed? You know, you might wonder, how did they know? Huh? Did they guess? Why did they say that? There are two reasons given. First of all, because the creation, the species that inhabited the earth before the human beings had done that. The species or the creation that had inhabited the earth before the human beings, they had done that. And so they thought that if another creation was to live on the earth after them, with free will, with choice, upon the same earth, the angels supposed that they would do the same. If the previous creation on the earth did that, the human beings, they will also do the same thing. So that's how they assumed. Secondly, another explanation has been given, that the word Khalifa, what does that indicate? Khalifa, the first meaning is that he is the deputy, meaning he is going to establish justice. He is going to establish justice. He is going to put things right. You only establish justice, you only put things right when there is no justice or when things are not right. Okay? So the word Khalifa itself indicates that human beings are, as Allah's deputy, they are to establish the laws of Allah, they are to establish justice. So from that term, they assume that human beings are going to create fasad on the earth and cause bloodshed. Now we see from this ayah that the angels are an intelligent creation. They use their mind. They have insight. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is presenting His plan in front of them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, He is not taking their permission. He is not asking them, should I or should I not? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only informing the angels about His plan. What does that teach us? What does that teach us? That if we are in a position of some authority, and if we plan to do something, if we decide to do something, we should tell those who will be affected by that plan about that particular plan, about that decision. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to tell the angels? No. If he wished, he wouldn't have. Could they stop him? No. He can decide and do whatever he wants. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed them. He made them aware. Because this is out of His kindness. And the angels over here, when they say that, why will you place somebody, you know, who's going to cause bloodshed, who's going to create facade, their objective of asking is to simply know the wisdom behind the creation of human being. Because if the objective is that the human beings are going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels say, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We are already glorifying you and worshipping you. So if the objective of creating the human beings is that they should worship you, well, we're already doing that. Let's look at the words نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ. نُسَبِّحُ is from the root letters سِين بَا حَ. The word تَسْبِيح is from the same root. What does tasbih mean? To glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Literally, the word sabaha from seen baha, literally it means to float. What does it mean? To float. Or to travel a long distance. What does sabaha mean? To float or to travel a long distance. When a ship floats on the surface of the sea, what does it do? It travels a long distance. Okay? That's the literal meaning of the word sabaha. And the word tasbih, as a term, it is to declare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above and free from anything that does not befit Him. What is tasbih? To declare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free from and above anything that does not befit Him. Sabaha is to travel a long distance. When you travel a long distance, you go from point A to point B. Something that was at point A is removed from point A and it is taken far away from there. So anything that does not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tasbih is to remove that away from Him. It is to declare Him free from anything that does not befit Him. And tasbih is done by words. By words. For example, by saying Alhamdulillah. By saying all praises to Allah. Okay? So it is done by words and it is also done in the heart. So وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ, the angel said that we do tasbih. How? بِحَمْدِكَ, by mentioning your hamd. We glorify you. How? By doing your hamd. The word hamd, we have done this word earlier in Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Hamd is to mention what? To mention the most perfect attributes of who? Of someone who is praiseworthy. Why? Out of love and respect. This is what hamd is. So what does it mean by nusabbihu bihamdika? If you think about it, in tasbih, there is negation of that which does not befit Him. Isn't it? Because you are declaring Him free from anything that does not befit Him. When you only say about someone, no, he does not lie, no, he does not cheat, he never speaks false, he never fails any test, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're kind of praising him. But is that complete praise? You're only telling somebody about what he does not do. Well, the question is, what does he do? Right? So if you're only negating, that's partial praise. And in hamd also, what does hamd mean? To mention the most perfect attributes, to mention only the good qualities of someone. Okay? if hamd is only done, that is also partial praise, isn't it? Because you're not informing of what he does not have, the wrong that he does not have. Okay? So over here, nusabbihu bihamdika. In tasbih, there is negation. In hamd, there is affirmation. When both come together, that is complete and perfect praise. Nusabbihu, there is negation of that which does not befit him. In hamd, there is affirmation of that which befits him, of the good qualities that he possesses. Nusabbihu bihamdika, complete praise. Complete praise. We completely praise and glorify you. Also, it has been said that nusabbihu bihamdika, this ba gives a meaning of along with, to accompany. So we do your tasbih accompanied by hamd, along with hamd. We do your tasbih along with your hamd. Like we say, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. So the angels say, wa nahnu nusabbihu bihamdika. We glorify you. How? By mentioning your praise. Moreover, wa nuqaddisu lak. And we also sanctify you. The word nuqaddisu, this is a new word. It is from the root letters qaf, dal, sin. How many of you know the meaning of the word sanctify? It's not used in the English language that much, right? The word nuqaddisu is from the root letters qaf, dal, sin. The amazing thing is you will understand it in Arabic, not in English. Quds. Quds literally means to be pure. What does it mean? To be pure. And it also means to go far away. It also means to go far away. Have you heard of Baytul Maqdis? Why is it called Baytul Maqdis? Because first of all, it is pure. It's in the Holy Land. And it was also far from Makkah and Medina. Okay? It was far and distant from Makkah and Medina. So, Baytul Maqdis, why? Because it's pure as well as far. The word taqdis is used for prayer. It is used for prayer. Why? Because prayer includes exaltation and it includes proclamation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's purity. Okay? Which is why in the salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his sujood, in his rukur, he would pray, Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikati Warruh. Okay? So these are the three meanings of the word Nuqaddisu Lak. And notice the word Lak, this lam over here, gives the meaning of specification. It gives meaning of specification. So it shows that we worship you, we praise you, we exalt you out of sincerity. Out of complete sincerity. And Islam also gives the meaning of istihqaq, that you are the only one who deserves the praise. You are the only one who deserves our worship and praise. نَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. We were doing ayah number 30. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. And mention when your Lord said to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةِ. I am going to place upon the earth a successive authority. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. They said, the angel said, are you going to place in the earth someone who is going to create fasad in it, and also he's going to shed blood? وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. While we are here, we are glorifying you with your praise, and we're also sanctifying you. So the angels say that they do two things. They do tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with hamd, and they also do taqdis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that the angels, they're saying that if the objective of creating the human beings is to worship Allah, we are already worshipping you. And if there is a creation, who is going to be created with free will, with choice? Obviously, they're going to create fasad. So then why create them? So the question over here of the angels is that they want to know the reason behind, the wisdom behind creating the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, قَالَ, he said, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, إني أعلم, indeed I know, ما لا تعلمون, that which you do not know. I know the wisdom, I know the reason, and that you angels do not know of it. So what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and the angels did not know? The benefits of creating Adam alayhi salam. The benefits of creating Adam alayhi salam. That amongst the human beings, there will not just be those people who are going to create fasad, but there are also going to be those who are going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are also going to be those who are going to be sincere to Allah in their worship, the righteous. There are going to be prophets. There are going to be those who are truthful, those who are righteous, those who are martyrs in the way of Allah. So what do we learn from this ayah? From this part of the ayah, where the angel said that why would you create them when we are already worshipping you? We see sometimes we look at just one side of the story, isn't it? We look at just one side of the picture, one aspect only, and we generalize the entire situation based upon that. For example, if there is a person who has some good qualities, but they also have negative qualities, because he's a human being, what are we going to do? We're going to say, he has nothing good in him, he does this, 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 and he has no good in him. We generalize the entire situation based on just one side of the picture that we see. And we should also notice that creation is not perfect. We human beings are not perfect. With many things in this world, there are good things to them and there are also bad things. And you have to bear the bad in order to benefit from the good. If a person says, I do not want to get married because when you get married you have to do this and this and this and this, fine, don't. Be lonely for the rest of your life. Live alone for the rest of your life. Do not have any children, do not have any supporters when you need. And so if a person is just focused on the negative, is he going to benefit from the positive? No. Similarly, if a person says, what's the point of looking after plants and growing plants and trees? You get the fruit only once a year. You look after the entire tree the whole year round. The tree produces so many branches and leaves and it sheds in the fall. There's so many leaves that you have to, you know, pick up and everything. And what's the benefit of having fruit just once a year? Is there any benefit? Of course there is. It is worth it. So there is good, and with the good there is bad. With the good there is bad. Both come together. And we have to tolerate the bad to benefit from the good. We have to tolerate the bad to benefit from the good. And the same thing is with the human beings. Yes, there are human beings who did create a lot of fasad. But were there not so many human beings who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Were there not so many human beings who pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. There were. Human beings, when they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their own choice, with their own free will, that is better than the worship and obedience of those who do so without the free will. So yes, sometimes when people read this ayah, that the angel said that, you know, human beings are going to create fasad, they're going to murder, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. They're like, look, what the angel said was true, is true. We see it today. So there really wasn't much benefit in creating human beings. This is what some people say. It wasn't worth creating human beings. But we also have to see that the human beings didn't just do fasad. They also did a lot of good. They also worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. The way that the human beings have reflected upon the creation of Allah, have benefited from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, the things that the human beings have made, how they have used their intellect. Has any other creation of Allah done that we know of? No. So we cannot just look at one aspect and generalize entirely. And also if you think of it, the human being, why does he do fasad? Why does he do fasad? Why does he create fasad? Because he has free will. He has the choice to do that. And if you look at the angels, yes, they are very righteous. It is a fact. But do they have free will? No, they don't. Do they have the choice? No, they don't. They just do what Allah tells them. So what's so extraordinary about that? It is amazing that they only obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they do not have any difficulty. They don't face any challenges. But the human beings, we have to fight the nafs, we have to fight the shaitan, we have to put in so much effort to obey Allah. So when the human being obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is better than the obedience of other creation. Which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Bayyinah, ayah number 7, that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Indeed, they who have believed and done righteous deeds, those are the best of all creation. Those are the best of all the creatures. Who? The people who have believed and done righteous deeds. Because they do so with choice. They do so with their own decision. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us that وَعَلَّمَ, and He taught, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught, to who? Adama, to Adam alayhi salam. What? Al-Asma, the names. Which names? كُلَّهَا, all of it. عَلَّمَ is from the root letters عَيْن لَا مِن. عِلْم is knowledge. And عَلَّمَ يُعَلِّمُ تَعْلِيم is to teach, to give knowledge. What does it mean? To teach, to give knowledge. عَلَّمَ يُعَلِّمُ تَعْلِيم is to teach, to give knowledge. And notice the word عَلَّمَ. We did the word نَزَّلَ earlier. What does نَزَّلَ mean? To gradually send down. عَلَّمَ also is to gradually teach. To teach one thing and then to teach something else and to teach another thing. Basically the word عَلَّمَ, تَعْلِيم, is used for formal teaching. It is used for formal teaching. To teach gradually one thing after the other. Why? So that the learner, the one who is learning, can learn what is being taught to him. And the course that you're taking is called ta'aleem of what? Of Qur'an. It's the formal education, formal learning of the Qur'an, which is spread over a period of a year and a half. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught to Adam alayhi salam names. The word Adam, is the name of the father of humanity, the father of all human beings. And the word Adam is derived from the root letters Hamza, Dal, Meen. It is derived from the root letters Hamza, Dal, Meen. It is said that this word is derived from the word Udma. Udma, which is the color that is between pure white and dark or black. So you can say it is used for a light beige brown color. Light beige brown color between pure white and black. This is what the word Udma means. So if you look at it, human skin, no matter what shade it is, it ranges somewhere between that. In Arabic, it is understood as beige or brownness. Okay. Secondly, it is also said that the word Adam is derived from the word Adam. Adam, which is the crust of the earth. Or Adim, which is the surface of the earth. What is the crust or the surface of the earth made of? Soil, mud. Generally, okay, that is what is on the crust of the earth, which is soil. So Adam a.s. was created from mud. Sa'id bin Jubayr, he said that Adam a.s. received his name because he was created from the surface of the earth. He was created from the surface of the earth. That's why he was given the name Adam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam a.s. al-asma. Asma is the plural of the word ism, which means the name of a thing. So he taught him names. Which names? Kullaha, all of them. Which things is this? Which names are these that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi salam? There are several interpretations to this. First of all, it has been said that al-asma'a kullaha means all things that have names. All things that have names. From the star to the moon to the sun to the earth to the sky to the tree to the flower to the bud. Everything that can be given a name, Adam alayhi salam was taught all of those names. He was given knowledge. Secondly, it is also said that al-asma'a kullaha refers to all of those things that were present over there at that time. It refers to all of those things that were present over there at that time. Because later on, Allah says that ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented those things before the angels. So it refers to all of those things that were present over there. What were those things? Allahu A'lam, it has been said that there were those things that were necessary for Adam alayhi salam and his children at that time to live. And thirdly, it has also been said that Al-Asma over here refers to the names of all the human beings, the names of all of his children. The names of all of his children. وَعَلَّمَ. This is why the word is عَلَّمَ. He taught. This is formal education. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught to Adam alayhi salam all of the names. ثُمَّ then عَرَضَهُمْ. He presented them. عَرَضَ is from the root letters عَيْن رَضَاد. And عَرْض is to present something before another. It is to present something before someone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented them. عَرَضَ هُمْ. What does them refer to? Them refers to the objects whose names were taught to Adam alayhi salam. So those things, those objects, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented them where? عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Upon the angels, meaning before the angels. فَقَالَ. Then he said to the angels, أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ. Tell me about the names of these things. أَنْبِئُونِي is from the root letters Nun, Ba, Hamza, Naba. Suratul Naba. Naba is used for important and relevant information. What is it? Important and relevant information. So أَنْبِئُونِي, tell me, inform me, بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ, of the names of these things, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you're truthful. If you're truthful about what? In your claim that the human being would only spread corruption. That the human being would only do facade. In your assumption that the human being is only going to do facade. So by this event, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proving to the angels? That the human being is not only going to do facade. He is going to be better than you in some way. Which is why the angels, قالوا, they said, they replied, سُبْحَانَكَ, your glory. Meaning glorified are you. سُبْحَان, same root as سِين بَحَا. سُبْحَان is a noun. So سُبْحَانَكَ, glorified are you, your glory. Why do they say this? Because the angels did not have the knowledge of the names of those things. They did not have the knowledge of the names of those things. So they're saying Subhanaka because they're acknowledging and realizing their mistake. They're realizing their mistake. So they're saying, O Allah, you have indeed made your decision based on your supreme knowledge and wisdom. You are glorified above making a decision without your wisdom. Subhanaka, glorified are you. La ilma lana, we have no knowledge. Illa ma 'allamtana, except that which you have taught us. Innaka, indeed you, anta, you alone are al-alim, the knowing, and you're also al-hakim. You alone have all knowledge, and you alone have wisdom. The word al-hakim, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-hakim is from the root letters ha, kaf, mim. And this name is derived from the word hikmah. Hikmah. And hikmah is wisdom. So you are hakim, meaning all of your actions are based on wisdom. All of your decisions are based on wisdom. All of your decisions, your actions, your sayings are based on wisdom. And it has also been said that the name of Allah, hakim, is derived from the word hukm. What does hukm mean? Judgment, to give an order. So he is al-hakim, meaning the one who decides, the one who makes decisions. لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. We have no knowledge except that which you have taught us. Indeed you are the knowing, the wise. So we see that over here the angels, they realize and they confess their mistake. And this is the greatness of the angels. And over here they're shown that they do not have entire knowledge. They do not have entire knowledge. They do not possess all of the knowledge. Because they had assumed that if the human being is going to be a Khalifa, he's going to create fasad. If the human being is going to go on the earth, if he's going to have free will, he's going to create fasad. Allah proves to them that you do not have all of the knowledge, and also He proves to them that the human being is not just going to create fasad. So from this we learn that if we ever do make a mistake, what should we do? Give justifications? Just admit. And we also learn from this ayah that if we are asked about something that we do not know of, what should we do? Guess? No. Just say we don't know. Simple. The angels were asked, tell me the names of these things. What did they do? Did they start guessing? No. They said, we do not know. We have no knowledge except that knowledge which you have taught us. Then what happened? Qala, he said, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Adamu, O Adam. Ambi'hum, inform them. Meaning, O Adam, inform the angels. About what? Bi asma'ihim, with the names of these things. Falamma amba'ahum bi asma'ihim, then when Adam alayhi salam informed them of their names, Qala, he said, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, Alam aqul lakum, did I not say to you? Alam aqul lakum, did I not say to you that inni, indeed I, a'lamu ghayba samawati wal ard, that I know the unseen of the heavens and the earth. Remember the word ghayb? What is ghayb? That which is hidden from us, that which we cannot see. And remember that ghayb is of two types. The first type of ghayb is general. The first type of ghayb is general, meaning that which is unseen to the entire creation. None of the creation knows about it. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of it. For example, when the Day of Judgment is going to be. When exactly is the Day of Judgment going to be? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that knowledge. And the entire creation is unaware of it. So first of all, there is ghaib which is general. It is unknown to the entire creation. The second type of ghaib is, you can say specific, or you can say it is relative, depending on who you're talking about. So basically, the second type of ghaib is that which is unknown to some creation, but known to other creation. That which is known to some creation, but unknown to other creation. For example, there are things out there that we do not see. We do not see, we do not know. But the angels, they could see them. And because they can see them, they know of them. Okay? Similarly, within human beings as well. What did I do yesterday at home? Do you know? You don't. But does Allah know? Of course He knows. Okay? So I know of that which happened yesterday at my house. You do not know. Okay? So this is what? Ghaib. How? That it is unknown to some, but known to others. And remember that ghaib is not just about those objects which are in the unseen, but it is also about time, events, things, incidents that are going to take place, or that did take place in the past, in the present, or will take place in the future. So over here when Allah says that أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, I know the unseen of the heavens and the earth, what does it mean? That I know about what actions the human beings are going to do in the future. I know the wisdom behind creating the human beings, that they're not only going to create fasad, they're also going to gain knowledge. They're also going to learn. Inni a'lamu ghaiba samawati wal ard. So whatever that is hidden in the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. And Allah says, wa a'lamu, and I also know, ma tubduna, whatever that you reveal, wa ma kuntum taktumun, and whatever that you hide. Tubduna. Tubduna is from the root letters ba dal waw. Ba dal waw. And it literally means to reveal something, to expose something, to make something known. To make something known. How? Unintentionally. Tubduna is what? To reveal something unintentionally. وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. تَكْتُمُونَ is from the root letters كَافْ تَا مِيمْ كَتَمَ. And كَتَمَ is to hide something deliberately. Okay? كَتَمَ is what? to hide something deliberately. So Allah says, I know what you reveal, وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ, and what you were hiding. What is it that the angels revealed? What is it that they disclosed? Their opinion about the human beings, that the human beings would spread corruption. And what is it that they concealed? What is it that they did not show? That their worship was enough. And so why should another creation be created? They didn't say that directly. Okay? They said, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. They didn't say, you know, directly outward, you know, straight, that, you know, you shouldn't create them because we're already worshipping you and our worshipping is sufficient. Why create them? They didn't say that directly. So Allah says, I know what you have said and I also know what you have hidden. So what they concealed was that their thinking or their assumption that their worship alone was enough. But if you think of it, the worship of the human beings and the worship of the angels is completely different. The worship of the human beings and the worship of the angels is different. The way that human beings worship, the way that the angels worship, it differs completely. The human beings worship out of their free will, despite all of the distractions. So Allah says, I know what you reveal and what you conceal. Then Allah says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ, and mention when we said to the angels. What did we say to the angels? Now again, you see, we has been used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because this is formal. It's a formal scenario. When we said to the angels, usjudu li Adam, prostrate to Adam. The word usjudu is from the root letters seen, jim, dal. Any other word from the same root? Sajda. What does that mean? Prostration. Any other word from the same root? Masjid. Very good. What is a masjid? A place where you do sajda. Right? And remember that sajda is in particular placing one's head, one's forehead on the ground. This is what sajda is. Sajda is not just bending your body. It is not just bending your body in front of someone, but it is to place your forehead on the ground out of humility, out of submission, in the direction of the one whom a person is showing humility to. This is what sajda is used for in particular. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels to prostrate to Adam, over here sajda means sajda, it does not mean ruku'. Because some people say, no, this was not really a sajda, this was just a bow. How people bow when they go up on the stage, right, at the end. So they said this is similar to that. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word sajda. There's a different word that is used for bowing in front of someone, which is ruku'. And Allah differentiates between sajda and ruku'. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا. You see them doing ruku', and you also see them doing sujood. Now a person may wonder, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command the angels to do sajda to Adam alayhi salam, when sajda is an act of worship and it should only be done to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why? Because it was a command of Allah. Simple as that. Simple as that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives a command to a person, to a human being, to any of His creation, whether angel or human being, it becomes mandatory upon them to do it. And it becomes an act of worship. Even if outwardly it appears to be something that is wrong. For example, killing your son. Is it something right? In Islam, if a person kills his son, is that wrong? Of course it is. Is he going to be punished? Of course he is going to be punished. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was told to murder his own son. To kill his own son. Obviously, it didn't actually happen, but he was commanded. Right? So outwardly, it may seem to be an action that is unacceptable, but if Allah tells a person to do something, then it becomes mandatory upon them. So over here, Allah told the angels to prostrate to Adam. Why? To show to the angels that they are less than Adam. Adam is superior to them. Adam is superior to them. The angels have to serve Adam. The angels have to serve Adam. Adam had more knowledge than the angels. And even till today, if you think about it, how is Adam alayhi salam superior to the angels? Because he had knowledge which the angels did not have. Correct? And even today, when a person goes seeking knowledge, what do the angels do? They lower their wings for the seeker of knowledge out of respect for the one who has knowledge. Fasajadu, so they all prostrated. You see the word fa? It gives a meaning of immediately. Immediately. What happened to the angels? They all prostrated to Adam alayhi salam, illa Iblis, except for Iblis. Who is Iblis? Shaitan. Iblis is Shaitan. He is the chief Shaitan. And the word Iblis is derived from the root letters ba, lam, sin, balasa. Balasa literally means to be extremely hopeless. What does it mean? To be extremely hopeless. To despair completely of something. To have no hope left whatsoever. So Iblis has completely despaired of what? Of the mercy of Allah. He has completely given up hope of the mercy of Allah. So fasajadu illa Iblis, they all prostrated except for Iblis. So what does this show? That Iblis was also given the command to do sajda. What did he do? Allah says, Aba, he refused to do sajda. Aba is from the root letters, Hamza, Ba, Ya. And it is to refuse to accept something. What does it mean? To refuse to accept something. To decline harshly. How come Iblis did not do sajda? Yes, this is what clarifies to us who Iblis actually was. Inshallah, we'll come to that. Let me just go over these words quickly first. Okay? Aba is from the root letters Hamza Baya, and it literally is to refuse to do something, to decline something harshly. To say, no, I'm not going to do it. Refuse, harshly, very rudely, stubbornly. So Aba, he refused to prostrate, wastakbara, and he acted proudly as well. Istakbara is from the root letters kafbara, and kibr is to be arrogant. Istakbara is to assume greatness. Remember, seen and ta, it gives the meaning of seeking. Remember I told you? But it also sometimes gives the meaning of doing something in excess. Doing something in excess, which is called mubalagha. So istakbara, he became extremely arrogant. He became extremely arrogant from obeying the command of Allah. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and he became of those who disbelieve. Now who is Iblis? This is a question. Iblis is not an angel. He is not a fallen angel. Okay? Iblis is a jinn. If he was of the angels, he would not have refused to obey the command of Allah. Because the angels, they do not have the choice to obey him or to disobey him. So Iblis was actually a jinn. We learn that from Surah Al-Kahf, ayah number 50, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ, he was of the jinn, and he disobeyed the command of his Lord. And Iblis, it is said that he was the father of all jinn. Just as Adam alayhi salam is the father of all human beings, Iblis is the father of jinn. So now the question is, why is he amongst the angels? Why was he there? Why was the command also given to him? Because he was very righteous. He was very obedient. And because he was very righteous, he was in the company of the angels. But we see that outward obedience, outward worship is not useful, is not beneficial until and unless a person's heart submits. Because apparently, outwardly he was very obedient, which is why he was in the company of the angels. But when Allah commanded him, what did he do? He did not accept. What does that show? That his heart had not truly submitted to Allah. His heart had not truly submitted to Allah. Now the question is, why did he refuse to obey this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We learn the answer from other places in the Quran. For example, in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah number 12, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. Allah said, what prevented you from prostrating when I commanded you? Why did you not prostrate when I told you to do so? قال, he said, Iblis replied, أنا خير منه. I am better than him. I am better than Adam. He said, I am better than Adam. He could not accept the superiority of Adam. خلقتني من نار. He said that you have created me from fire. وخلقته من طين. And you have created him from clay. Fire is better than clay. I am better than him. This is why he refused to obey the command of Allah. Now one thing that we should notice over here. Allah says, أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. He refused to obey the command of Allah and he became very arrogant from submitting to the command of Allah. And as a result, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And he became of the kafirin. He committed kufr. So it shows to us that kufr is not just denying something, not just saying that I don't believe in this, but kufr also includes kufr of arrogance. When a person is too arrogant to submit to the truth that he realizes. When he's arrogant to submit to the truth that he realizes. Also, one thing that we should notice over here, that Iblis, he refused only one sajda. One sajda only he refused to do. And this sajda also was not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who was it to? Adam alayhi salam. Then what about a person who refuses to do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And not just one sajda, the entire salah. Iblis refused to prostrate once in obedience to Allah, to Allah's creation. And his result was, كَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He became of the kafirin. What about those who refuse to do sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And not just one sajda, the entire salah. What about them? وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. So we see from this ayah that there are two ways, two clear ways. One is that a person like the angels, when you realize your mistake, you accept it, you acknowledge it, you seek forgiveness, and everything is fine. Back to normal. Things are fine. And the other is that when there is a mistake, a person does not accept, he becomes arrogant, and he makes the situation worse for himself and also for others. He makes the situation bad for himself and also for others. Why? Simply because of not accepting one's own mistake. Then Allah says, وَقُلْنَا, and we said, يَا Adam, O Adam, أُسْكُن, you live. أُسْكُن is from the root letter سِين كَافْنُون, سَكَنَة. سَكَنَة means to live somewhere, to dwell somewhere. From the same root is the word سُكُون. From the same root is the word سُكُون, which means, what does it mean? Peace, to be still. So the house is a place where a person is peaceful. He's happy. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ. We said, O Adam, you live, you stay. أَنْتَ, you, وَزَوْجُكَ, and also your wife. You and your wife, and remember the word أَنْتَ, it gives the meaning of only you. Only you and your wife, that's it, nobody else. Only you and your wife, you stay where? In Al-Jannah, in the paradise. You stay in Jannah. Now the question is, which Jannah is this? Is this Jannatul Khuld, or is it some other garden? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not specify to us, therefore we should also not bother to question about it. But from the language that has been used, Al-Jannah, up in the heavens, would mean Jannatul Khuld. Right? Because later on, what does Allah say? Ihbitu, all of you get down. Go down from Jannah. So this shows that this Jannah is not just a garden in the world, but it was some Jannah up in the heavens. So anta wa zawjuka, where? In al-jannah. Wa kula, and both of you eat. Kula is from the root letters hamza, kaf, lam. Do you see the hamza? Do you see the alif? Do you see the alif before the kaf? No, you don't. The second alif that you see, that's of tathniyah. That's not part of the root. So alif, kaf, lam, or hamza, kaf, lam, and it's not there because it's of the huruf illa. So akala is to eat something. Kula, both of you eat. Minha, from it, meaning from this Jannah, eat of this Jannah, ragadan, abundantly, freely, without any restrictions. The word ragad is from the root letters ra, ghain, dal. And ragad is used for abundance of something. What is it? The abundance of something. It is also used for affluence. When a person is rich, when a person has a lot of wealth. And the word raghad is also used for comfort, joy, pleasure. When something is easy, when something is fun, when something is a source of comfort for a person. For example, it is said, عَيْشُ الرَّغَدِ. عَيْش is life, of raghad is a life of plenty, life of abundance, where a person has a lot of wealth. And raghda is also for leaving animals free for pasture, that they can eat whatever they want to their heart's content. So over here Allah says, eat of the Jannah, meaning of the food of Jannah. How? Raghadan, freely, without any restrictions. Eat to your heart's content, from wherever you want. حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا, wherever that you want. Now you see, in dunya, when we're trying to eat somewhere, what happens? Either the food, the quantity of the food is limited, or the choices are limited. Isn't it so? Especially for those Muslims who live in a place where everything is not halal. Isn't it? The only option you have is of vegetarian, vegetable. And sometimes not even that, because they have used cheese or they've used something which has an ingredient which is not halal. This is only possible in Jannah, that a person can eat without any restrictions, without any limitation. And also sometimes, you know, you go to an all-you-can-eat thing. Huh? How much can you eat? You go to a buffet and you are allowed to eat as much as you want. How many servings can you take? How many? You can't. And if there's a lot of choice, you don't know what to eat and what to leave, especially if the food is good. This is only possible in Jannah. So Allah says, eat raghadan, abundantly, freely, comfortably, حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا, from wherever that you want. But they're told one thing, وَلَا, and do not, تَقْرَبَا, you to go near. تَقْرَبَا is from the root letters, قَافْرَبَا, قُرْب. قُرْب is closeness, nearness. لَا تَقْرَبَا, do not even go near. Do not even go close. To what? هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَ, this tree. Notice the word هَذِهِ. This is feminine of the word هَذَا. Okay? So do not even go close to this particular tree. What does it mean by that? Do not eat of the fruit of this particular tree. One tree only. لَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ, do not even go near this tree. Notice there's only one tree. Only one tree that is forbidden. Right? Similarly, in dunya also, we're allowed to eat everything except for just some things. There are only a few foods that are forbidden to us. Otherwise, we're allowed to eat everything. Similarly, in paradise, they were allowed to eat everything except for just the fruit of one tree. So Allah says, do not eat of the fruit of that tree. Why? Fatakuna, then you too will become. Meaning, if you eat of that fruit, you will become min al-zalimeen, of those who transgress. Zalimeen is a plural of zalim, one who does ghulm. What is ghulm? Injustice. So you will be committing injustice. How? Against yourself. When we disobey Allah, we're actually harming ourselves. We're being unjust to ourselves. Because if we obey Allah, we can enjoy the benefits of obedience. When we disobey, we bring upon harmful consequences upon ourselves. So when a person disobeys Allah, he is actually harming himself. So they're told, do not even go near this tree. Why? Because if you do so, you will disobey Allah and you will be harming yourself. So the test was, eat whatever you want, except for one thing. And that particular one thing, don't even go near it. Because once you go near that which is forbidden, what happens? What happens? You end up doing it. It's easy to do it. Isn't it? It's very easy to do it. For example, if a person has some certain dietary restrictions, for example, he's not allowed to have dairy or he's not allowed to have wheat, okay, because of some allergies or something like that, and he brings milk, he brings cheese, and it's in the refrigerator, what is he going to do? Isn't he going to be tempted to eat it? Of course he is. If there's cake, whole wheat, bread, sitting on his counter, kitchen counter, and he's not allowed to eat it, but it's in the kitchen, is he not going to be tempted to eat it? Of course he is. When we go near the sin, when we go close to the sin, we fall down because we are weak. This is why Allah says, don't even go near, don't even go close to the sin, because if you do so, you will fall. What happened then? فَأَزَلَّهُمَا. Then he caused to slip them too. Who caused to slip them too? الشَّيْطَانُ the shaytan. The word أَزَلَّ is from the root letters زَي لَمْ لَمْ. زَي لَمْ لَمْ. And زَلَل, زَلَل means to slip. What does it mean? To slip. Do you slip intentionally? No, you don't. Similarly, zalal is also used for making a mistake. Making a mistake that is unintentional. And you see the word azalla? Azalla is to make someone else slip. To make someone else make a mistake. To make someone else forget so that they make a mistake. From the same root is the word zallatul lisan, which is the slip of the tongue. It's unintentional. So فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaytan made them both slip. Shaytan made them both make mistake. عَنْهَا from it. He made them both slip from where? Go away from where? From Jannah. فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا. So he got them both out. مِمَّا كَانَ فِيهِ from that which they were in. What were they in? In Jannah. But notice Allah says, مَا كَانَ فِيهِ, whatever that they were in. Because it was not just Jannah. It was the luxury. It was the freedom. It was the enjoyment. It was the pleasure. All of that which they were enjoying, Shaytan expelled them from there. وَقُلْنَا, and we said, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Adam and Hawa, اِهْبِطُوا, all of you get down. اِهْبِطُوا is from the root letters, هَبَطَ هُبُط. And هُبُط is to come down from above. What does it mean? To come down from above intentionally or by force. When a person is forced to step down, or when a person intentionally steps down, he goes down. وَقُلْنَا اِهْبِطُوا. اِهْبِطُوا is all of you get down. Who does you all refer to? You all refers to Adam, Hawa, as well as Iblis. Adam, Hawa, as well as Iblis. So Allah says, all of you get down from where? From Jannah. بَعْضُكُمْ, some of you, لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوْ, some of you are enemy to other. عَدُوْ is from the root letters عَيْنْ دَالْوَوْ, and عَدَى يَعْدُوْ literally is to cross limits. What does it mean? To cross limits. And an enemy, what does he do? He crosses limits in his enmity. He crosses all limits in his enmity, in showing his hatred. So what does it mean by all of you get down from here, some of you are enemy to other? What does it mean by this? That human beings are going to be enemies to other human beings. Because Adam, Hawa, Iblis, all three were told, all of you go out of here. Some of you are going to be enemy to others. So what does it show? That human beings are going to be enemies to each other. Similarly, this ayah shows that Shaytan is the enemy of the human beings. Shaytan is the enemy of who? Of the human beings. Allah says in Surah Fatir, ayah number 6, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Indeed, Shaytan is an enemy to you. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. So take him as an enemy. So when they disobeyed Allah, what happened? When they ate of the forbidden tree, what happened? They lost the benefits that they were enjoying. And they were sent upon the dunya. Now some people say, oh, I wish that Adam alayhi salam had not eaten of the tree. We would have been there. But what do we learn at the beginning of these verses? Allah said, I am going to place upon the earth a khalifa. So why was he sent to this garden then? As a test. He was sent to that garden for a test. For the purpose of a test. Then Allah says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and for you in the earth there is مُسْتَقَرْ, a place to stay, وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ, and an enjoyment until a time. The word مُسْتَقَرْ is from the root letters قَافْرَارَ. And قَرَار means to become still, to settle down. What does قَرَار mean? To become still or to settle down. And the word قَرْ is used for cold. What happens when you're cold? What happens when you're cold? You try to stay at home. Right? You shiver, but it means to be still. You don't like to do anything, isn't it? You're in your bed, you're all warm, nice and cozy, and even if you have to go to the bathroom or you know you're thirsty, you don't want to go because you're so nice and warm. Right? And if you get out of there, you'll be cold. So when a person is cold, he becomes still. When things are cold, they freeze. They become still. They become frozen. Okay? So mustaqar is the place of qarar. It is the place of stay. Now why is the seen and ta over here? Why is the seen and ta over here? Because remember, seen and ta is not just for seeking, but it also shows when something is done excessively. When something is done excessively, or it is extreme in its quality. So mustaqar, it is your place of settlement. You're not going anywhere from here. Dunya is the place where you're going to stay. Not the space. Not the moon. Your place is going to be the earth. And also the dunya is wamata'un, and a temporary enjoyment. Mata' is from the root letters mim ta'ain. And mata' is used for something that is a necessity of life. Okay? Meaning you cannot do without it. You cannot live without it. It is necessary for you to use it. It is necessary for you to have it. But it's also an enjoyment, meaning something that a person enjoys. For example, when you live in a house, you need a bed. You need your cutlery. You need your plates, your cooking vessels, isn't it? They are a necessity. But having them is also an enjoyment, isn't it? You enjoy using your dishes. You enjoy, you know, cooking in those dishes. You enjoy eating in those dishes. So they are a necessity and they're also an enjoyment. What's another characteristic? They're also temporary. They're also temporary. You cannot have them forever. Either they will finish or you will have to go before they finish. So dunya is a place of stay for you, and for you in the dunya there is a matar. There is temporary enjoyment and benefit, ila heen, until a time. So what do we learn from this part of the ayah? That we are here in this dunya not forever. We are here for a time, for a certain time. And what is that certain time? Until the end of our lifespans on the earth. Until the time of death. And another lesson that we learn from this ayah is that if a person eats of the fruit of the forbidden tree, if a person eats of the fruit of the forbidden tree, what's going to happen? He is going to be removed far from the mercy of Allah. Adam alayhi salam and his wife, they were in Jannah. They were enjoying. They had complete freedom. And they were tested with the fruit of a forbidden tree. And they ate of that tree. What happened? They were removed from the mercy of Allah. And this is a lesson for all of us. This is a lesson for all of us. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَن يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها ثم عرضهم على الملائكة فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين فأزلهما الشيطان عنها فأخرجهما مما كانا فيه وقلنا اهبطوا بعضكم لبعض عدو ولكم في الأرض مستقر ومتاع إلى حين
Any questions? مستقر قاف را را قرار stay. Alhamdulillah, we have almost reached the quarter of the juz. Okay. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.